to do badly at school.
You do not have a crystal ball that would show you the day he picks up his stonking GCSE results, so you panic. Next, a big family saloon, which is basically insulting because it is a big family saloon, drives by. The parents lean out of their windows and yell in unison,
"Children who grow up without fathers are more likely to end up unemployed, homeless or imprisoned, you know."
You kiss your baby's head and promise him you won't let that happen. Vehicle after vehicle speeds by. People are crying out about a new government report that insists kids from lone parent families are more at risk of poverty, poor health, depression. Other drivers add that they're also more likely to run away from home, drink and smoke heavily. Then, finally, a juggernaut of a vehicle tries to flatten you. A paunchy smug fella wearing a vest top and tattoos toots on his horn, then screams,
"Kids from lone parent families are more likely to suffer sexual and physical abuse, indulge in drug taking, fall into crime, have early sex, and finally complete the circle by becoming teenage parents themselves, you silly bitch."
Presumably, this pillar of society, who farts in his cab, read all this in a tabloid, on a pit stop in a lay-by, just after he'd had a wank. So he is now an expert. Everyone is. You cover your baby's ears. You don't want him to hear this stuff. Of course, they have to say lone parent, but since 90% of single families are headed up by mums, it's clear who is being blamed. Not the absentee father, because that would be too logical, but rather the boudicca who is battling on alone. It makes my blood fucking boil. It really does. Sorry about my language, but sometimes, you know, no other word can do the job. It seems everyone is out to get you. No one says that you're a warrior, a Trojan, a veritable saint. Can't they see these babies, these children are total miracles? Little soldiers in their own right. Still, no time to ponder. You hop and jump, weave and scurry because your life depends on it. You cling to your child, tight, taut, tense. You're prepared to lie down in front of one of those cars for him if you have to, but you know that act of martyrdom would be pointless. What you really must do is stay alive and look after him, no matter what comes hurtling your way. You just have to look after him. Chapter 1. Melanie. Monday, 19th of February. While the girls are cleaning their teeth, I start to stack the dishwasher. It's too full to take the breakfast pots. I should have put it on last night. There's nothing I can do about this now. So I finish making up their packed lunches and then have a quick glance at my phone. I'm expecting an email from my area manager about the results of some interviews we held last week. I work in a high street fashion retailer that everyone knows. There's one in every town. Our branch needs another sales assistant, and as assistant manager, I was asked to sit in on the interviews. Dozens of people applied. We interviewed 6. I have a favourite, and I'm crossing my fingers she'll be selected. Unfortunately, I don't get to make the final decision. I skim through the endless offers to invest in counterintuitive home protection units, or pills that promise me thicker and fuller hair, or a thicker and fuller penis, and look for my boss's name. Suddenly, I spot another name. Abigail Curtis. And I'm stopped in my tracks. It jumps right out at me. Abigail Curtis. My first thought is that it is most likely to be a clever way of spreading a virus. The name is a coincidence, one just plucked out of the air by whoever it is who is mindless enough and yet clever enough to go to the effort of sending spam emails to infect other people's gadgets. But Curtis with a Z? I hesitate before opening it, as it's probably just trouble. However, the email is entitled "It's Been Too Long," which sounds real enough, feasible. It has been a long time. I can't resist. I open it, my heart thumping. Normally, I skim read everything. I have 3 kids and a job. My default setting is hurried. But this email, I read carefully. "No," I gasp out loud.
"Bad news?"
asks Ben with concern.